To hear the Easter story this morning, we're going to read from John chapter 20, the resurrection story. And if you have your Bibles with you, you're welcome to turn to that. If not, or even if you do, we just invite you to hear this in the voices of people speaking their lines. So Jesus and Mary both speak quite a lot. And as we work through this morning, I was moved to hear these words spoken in dialogue. And I hope that can be an opening for us to move into this scripture together.
Early in the morning, on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone was moved away from the entrance. She ran at once to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, breathlessly panting.
They took the master from the tomb. We don't know where they've put him.
Peter and the other disciple left immediately for the tomb. They ran neck and neck. The other disciple got to the tomb first, outrunning Peter. Stooping to look in, he saw the pieces of linen cloth lying there, but he didn't go in. Simon Peter arrived after him, entered the tomb, observed the linen cloths lying there, and the kerchief used to cover his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but separate, neatly folded by itself. Then the other disciple, the one who had gotten there first, went into the tomb, took one look at the evidence, and believed. No one yet knew from the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The disciples then went back home, but Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she knelt to look into the tomb and saw two angels sitting there, dressed in white, one at the head, the other at the foot of where Jesus' body had been laid.
They said to her, "Woman, why do you weep?"
"They took my master," she said, "and I don't know where they put him."
After she said this, she turned away and saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to her.
"Woman, why do you weep? Who are you looking for?"
She, thinking that he was the gardener, said,
"Mister, if you took him, tell me where you put him so I can care for him."
Jesus said,
"Mary."
Turning to face him, she said in Hebrew,
"Rabboni, teacher."
Jesus said,
"Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go to my brothers and tell them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God."
Mary Magdalene went, telling the news to the disciples.
"I saw the Master."
And she told them everything he said to her. Later on that day, the disciples had gathered together, but fearful of the Jews, had locked all the doors in the house. Jesus entered, stood among them, and said,
"Peace to you."
Then he showed them his hands and sighed. The disciples, seeing the Master with their own eyes, were exuberant. Jesus repeated his greeting,
"Peace to you. Just as the Father sent me, I send you."
Then he took a deep breath and breathed into them.
"Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive someone's sins, they're gone for good. If you don't forgive sins, what are you going to do with them?"
This morning, we're gathered here in the presence of the risen Christ to celebrate that life and resurrection, the triumph of Jesus over sin and death. We've sung these sturdy songs, and we've heard the scripture declaring the resurrection. And now we're given the task of how to respond to this familiar and yet overwhelming story. What does this mean? What do we do now? Jesus is risen and here among us. And how are we called to transformation? Are we telling this story just because it's our tradition and we do this every year? Or are we trying to fully embrace its implication in our lives? As Richard Rohr said, the cross is a transformational image and message that utterly rearranges one's reality and idea of the very nature of God. And N.T. Wright says, the central point of the resurrection of Jesus is the beginning of the new creation in which we are to share already in the power of the Spirit. The death and resurrection of Jesus are not a one-time sacrifice made by Jesus that completes some contractual agreement with God, but the modeling of what our own journey with God is to look like. Here's some passages of what Jesus had to say about that, found in Scripture. John 12:23-25. Listen carefully. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. In the same way, anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life. But if you let it go, reckless in your love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal. Luke 9:23-25. Then he said to them all, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. What does it profit them if they gain the whole world, but lose or forfeit themselves? Lastly, John 20:20. The disciples, seeing the Master with their own eyes, were exuberant. Jesus repeated this greeting, peace to you. Just as the Father sent me, I send you. We are a sent people. Resurrection, new birth comes at the other side of death. Jesus' message to us is clear. Take up your cross daily. Lose your life to find your lives. Let go and be reckless in your love. Follow the path of Jesus just as God sends Jesus. Jesus sends us to proclaim the kingdom of God in losing our lives. And if that doesn't scare you, I don't know. That scares me. We're all in the process of taking up our cross daily. And some of us fully embrace it, and some of us are struggling to. Some of us struggle with the idea of new life, of resurrection, and some of us cling to that daily, to that hope flowing through. Some of us are resisting the death we encounter around us, and most of us are a mix of these things altogether. So this morning, we'd like to invite you to pay attention where you are in our journey with Jesus. You'll find a sheet that looks like this in the baskets with markers and crayons. You'll also find some other smaller pieces that, if you've noticed, the smaller pieces make up the larger piece. And there are larger pieces of the same image on the walls. So we're going to go through four movements together, considering dying, growing deep inside, resurrected to grow, and what we're called to or how we're bearing fruit. These four movements will consist of singing a song together, a brief centering word, and then a time to reflect and where you see God's work in you in each of these movements. We'd encourage you to write or draw or color or sit in silence as a means to have a conversation with the present teacher. As a way of doing this as a congregation, we encourage you also to use one of the smaller pieces to consider what that means for you, and then we invite you during each moment at any time to put your piece up on one of the larger butterflies. Let's continue our worship together in song.